Well, good evening, everyone. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Shirley. We thank you for joining the broadcast on tonight, our new podcast, Destined to Win. We give God all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We thank Jesus for being Jesus all by himself. Hallelujah. We thank God for being our God, for being supreme, for being the lover of our souls, the author and finisher. We give God glory on tonight, family. We thank God. We thank God that we are alive and well and in the land of the living. Hallelujah. God has been good. He's good all the time. We praise and thank him for his goodness, his mercy, his grace, and his tender loving kindness. I just can't praise and thank him enough in the name of Jesus for the things that he has done, the things that he is doing, and the things that he desires to do in the lives of his people. So we welcome the Holy Spirit amongst us tonight. He's with us always, but we acknowledge him. We say, God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We adore you. We give you the sacrifice of praise. We open up our mouths and we adore you. We give you adoration. Hallelujah. We praise and we bless your holy name, but there's nobody like you. We can search all over and still we can't find nobody like you. We just thank you for always being with us. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for being there when everyone else turns away. You are always there watching over us, leading us, guiding us, instructing us, teaching us, loving on us lavishly. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We thank and we praise you just for who you are, not just for what you can do, but for who you are. You are Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the promised seed of the Father, the seed of Abraham, that the word declares through you all nations of the earth would be blessed. We're blessed on tonight, Father. We thank you for the blessing, and the blessing is Jesus. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. He is the truth. He is the only thing that sustains us. He keeps us. He upholds us with his righteous hand. Hallelujah. He shields us and protects us on all sides. And we are grateful and thankful on tonight. We are grateful, Lord, and thankful to be in your presence one more time, to be amongst our sisters and brothers on the broadcast tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you for our families, Lord. We thank you for waking us up this morning. Yes, clothing our right minds, and you gave us the activities of our limbs, Jesus. We can't thank you enough because you are great and you are mighty and you are awesome in all of your ways. There is nothing too hard for you. Hallelujah. So we just wanted to acknowledge you, Father, your presence, the precious Holy Spirit. Spirit, we thank you for the blood atonement. We thank you for salvation and redemption. We thank you that our sins were washed away by the shedding of your blood over 2,000 years ago, Father, on Calvary's cross. We thank you for making us a part of the beloved, for calling us into your family. Hallelujah. We have been adopted and grafted in to, hallelujah, your family, Father. We have full rights. We have full access. The veil was split in two, torn in two, and now we have access beyond the veil into your very presence, Lord. So we give you glory on tonight, Father. We exalt and extol your holy name. Hallelujah. For without you, we are nothing and can do nothing. Aside from you, we're just dust. Hallelujah. But through you, Christ, hallelujah, who strengthens us, we can do all things. Hallelujah. We thank you for your love, Father, because you didn't have to choose us, but you did. You chose us in the beloved. In Christ, you created us before the foundations, and we are grateful and thankful. Our destiny is sealed. You know the plans that you have for us, according to Jeremiah 29:11, plans to bless you and not harm you, and to bring you to an expected end. That is your purpose for us, your will and desire for us, Father, is that we are blessed because that brings you glory. It brings you glory when we are healthy, when we walk in divine healing and health. It blesses you and glorifies you, Father, when we have abundance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But how many of you know that wealth starts in your spirit? But Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. It's not outside of you. It is in you. So I don't know why we run to and fro looking for something on the outside of us when God has given us everything we need. For Ephesians declared that the hope of glory, Christ in us, hallelujah, he is the hope of glory. That means that there's a hope. We hope that things are going to manifest to give God glory in our lives, hallelujah, glory to God. We're working with power, wonder-working power, and that power lives down on the inside of us. So I just wanted to love on the Lord a little bit before I get into the word tonight. I want to welcome you to the broadcast. I want to thank you for being with us tonight, for tuning in and listening in, for there is a word from the Lord on tonight. There is a word from the Lord, and it's a powerful word that the Lord revealed to me, and you're going to walk away from this broadcast changed, edified, empowered, built up, hallelujah, edible, koshanda, built up in your innermost being, in your spirit man, if you just have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal, is revealing to his people. He's not trying. He wants to reveal it to you, the will of God, through the word of God. So we're going to get into the word tonight. Father, we thank you and we pray and bless you, God. We pray that you would anoint this broadcast, Father, that you would do what you do, Father. You are God and God alone. Speak to your people, God. Use me, God, to bring a powerful word, a word, God, that's going to revelate their minds and open up their minds, Father, and give us a glimpse just a little bit more into who you are, Father, that we would know you, Father, intimately, personally. That is our desire on tonight, Father. Do what only you know how to do, and that is to bless. We've come to feast at your table. We've come to hear a word from the Lord on tonight in the name of Jesus. We give you glory in advance. We thank you, we praise you, and bless your holy name. And we pray in the mighty, matchless name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. So family, if you would turn with me, please. We're going to get into the word. The scripture tonight is coming from Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and we're going to begin at verse 11. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 11. And I think I'm reading from the King James Version or the New King James Version. And it reads, Mark chapter 8, starting at 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. I'm talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus, if you go back up into Mark chapter 8, he had just fed the multitude. Hallelujah. Verse 6 of Mark chapter 8 says, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set before them the people. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed what they had and commanded them to set them before the people, and they did eat. And the total down in 9 says that they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And that's when the Pharisees come on the scene. And you have just witnessed a miracle. And here you come with your crew questioning the man of God, questioning Jesus, asking him to show you a sign, according to Mark chapter 8, verse 11. And so in verse 12, it says, and he, meaning Jesus, sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? They always want to see a sign, a sign, a sign. Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Verse 13, and he left them and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. So he went to the other side. He left them, get that somebody, and he went to the other side. If they're not for you, then they're against you. You don't have to stay in their presence. Just separate yourself and go to the other side. Verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So they're all in the ship. The disciples forgot to bring extra food, provisions along. And 15 says, and he charged them saying, take heed. Their minds on food. But Jesus says to them, take heed. Beware of the leaven. Beware of the yeast. You know yeast spreads. When it gets down in dough, it spreads. Beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees, and of the leaven or the yeast of Herod. Verse 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. They think he's talking about bread that you eat with your mouth, bread. So they're missing it, and Jesus lets them know that they're missing the point that he's trying to make in verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, knew what they thought, knew what they were thinking, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Proceed ye not yet, neither understand? And in other words, he's asking them or telling them, you don't get it yet. You don't get it yet. And then he goes on to say, have ye your heart yet hardened? What is he saying? He's saying unbelief, lack of understanding, lack of perception will harden your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because now doubt and fear has set in. Oh, my God, we didn't bring enough food. We're out on the boat. We don't have enough food. But they had bread from heaven with them, but they didn't understand. He said, you don't understand yet? Okay, then he goes on to say in verse 18, having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. Let me stop right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What he's saying to them, how could I do all of this in your midst? How can I perform these miracles that your eyes have actually seen? And you get in the boat and you think about this one loaf that you've only bought with you on this trip, and now you're tripping? That's what he's saying to his disciples. That's what he's saying also to you and I. Why are you tripping over the little stuff? Why are you sweating the small stuff? Remember what I did in the past? Remember what you witnessed in the past? So why are you tripping over the little stuff? In the name of Jesus. That's what he's saying to his disciples. That's what he's saying to you and I. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? How can you be with the master and don't understand? What he's saying is, and what he's asking is, how can you not understand spiritual things? You have eyes to see, right? You have ears to hear, right? But yet you don't understand spiritual things. Hallelujah. So we go on in Mark chapter 8. Stay with me. We're up to verse 22 now. And it reads, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Now, I want you to notice how he's saying in the previous verses to his disciples, you have eyes to see, right? You have ears to hear, right? And then we go on. I mean, the word of God is laid out so beautifully. I mean, even a little child can understand it. And 22, they come and they encounter a blind man The people brought a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him or to heal him. Verse 23, and he took the blind man. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand. God will lead you if you allow him. He will lead you as a little child if you liken yourself as a little child, believe in all things, having hope for all things. These are the kind of hearts that the Lord is after in the name of Jesus. So he took the blind man by the hand. I don't know what your impairment might be or what your disability may be spiritually, but Jesus is here to lead and guide us. Hallelujah. And the word declares that he led him out of town. He took him away from the crowd. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw. In other words, he asked him, do you see anything yet? Or what do you see? Hallelujah. And back in those days, spittle was used for healing. Hallelujah. So this was not foreign to this blind man. He was in a culture, in a day, and in a time where spittle was commonly used as healing, for healing. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. This is what the blind man sees. He saw men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands, meaning Jesus, put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. In other words, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes a second time. Sometimes it takes a second touch from God in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it takes a second touch in order for us to see clearly, to see people and seasons and situations for what they really are. And this is what happened to this blind man. Jesus touched him the first time, and his eyes, his vision was still blurry. He could not see clearly. So Jesus came back the second time. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, another touch. God, I need another touch. Hallelujah. And Jesus came back the second time and touched his eyes. And the word declared that he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house saying, neither go into town nor tell it to any in the town. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to talk to you about spiritual blindness or visual impairment, refractive errors. Dealing with sight, dealing with vision, hallelujah. See, most people often need to wear eyeglasses to correct blurred or distorted vision caused by imperfections in the eyes. Their focusing mechanism is off. These imperfections which occur because light entering the eye is not brought into sharp focus on the retina are known as common errors or refractive errors. We're talking about vision and sight. Visual impairment describes vision that cannot be fully corrected by ordinary prescription lenses, medical treatment, or surgery. Visual impairment ranging from good usable vision to low vision or to the absence of any sight at all, which is total blindness, is one thing to be visually impaired in the natural where, you know, you need corrective surgery or you need glasses or something to help you see clearer or better in the natural. But it's another whole thing to be visually or spiritually impaired. But thanks be unto God who has given us his spirit, sisters and brothers, having ears to hear and eyes to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, first of all, why is spiritual sight and vision important? The Bible declares that we need to be able to see, that the blind cannot lead the blind, If the blind leads the blind, they both fall into the ditch. So we need spiritual vision. We need spiritual sight in order to see what God is trying to show to us, what he desires for us to see. Because without sight, we get lost and we won't know where we're going. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we need sight. Now, Brother Paul, great God from Zion, in Ephesians chapter 1 gives us the antidote for spiritual low vision, short-sightedness, meaning seeing things only on the surface or only in the natural. And also he gives us the antidote for being spiritually blind. But I want to want us to look at the cause of spiritual blindness according to the scriptures. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Let's back up and let's start at verse 1. And this is Paul writing to his second letter to the church at Corinthians. And he's saying in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing this, that word again, seeing, meaning having sight or vision, we have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things. See, when you can't see clearly, things are covered up. Things are hidden. Things are out of your eyesight. Hallelujah. Having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then he says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, that word hid means veiled, like have a covering over it. If our gospel be veiled or cloaked in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, it is cloaked or hidden or hid to them that are lost, meaning perishing. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded. Blindness deals with your eyes, ability to see, ability to have sight, ability to perceive. And so the God of this world, this is what causes spiritual blindness and spiritual cataract, hallelujah, that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hallelujah. So that's where spiritual blindness comes from. It is cast upon people by the God of this world. They don't believe. He has blinded their minds. Hallelujah. He's blinded their minds. He's covered their minds. Their eyesight, their spiritual eyesight is off. They have low vision, or either they have no vision. They cannot see clearly the things of God and what God is doing in the earth realm. But I thank God that through the word that he had given to Brother Paul in Ephesians, hallelujah, glory to God, chapter 1, we're going to get into this and we're going to go deep. The Spirit's going to take us deep into it. It's powerful. And once you get this word, hang on to this word. Meditate in this word. Keep this word. Keep this word, because this word is mighty powerful. Hallelujah. So we know that the adversary, the enemy, the God of this world is the one who causes spiritual blindness. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that God, somebody said, but God, hallelujah. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. He makes that distinction clear, not the little g of this world, but the big G, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. that he may give. Let me start at 16, because what he's doing is he's praying this prayer for the saints, for the church, but specifically for the saints in Ephesus. Hallelujah. At Ephesus. He's praying this prayer. And he starts in verse 16 by saying, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let me stop right there. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Now, I did a study on that word spirit. You know that we are spirits. We are spirits in a physical body. Hallelujah. We are mind, spirit, and body. Hallelujah. And that word spirit in the Greek, it means breath or breathe. It means blast. It means breeze. It means the human rational soul. It means disposition, divine. It means God, Christ, Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It means mind. So he's saying, I pray that the Father of glory may give unto you the mind. Put mind in place of spirit, that he would give you the mind or the disposition or the character of Christ, of the divine nature of God himself. Hallelujah. Which is the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, 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 and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let me help you out. Hallelujah. He's saying that I'm praying that God would give you a mind, a disposition, character, a nature, or mentality of wisdom, which means wise, which is thoughtful, which is showing keen, sharp mental discernment and good judgment, having perception. See, we're talking about spiritual sight, being able to see, hallelujah, spiritually, not just on the surface or in the natural, but being able to see in the spirit. You should, every person you encounter, you know it's a spirit. Hallelujah. Let me not get ahead of myself. So you need spiritual discernment, spiritual eyes to see, well, what spirit is in my presence? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Excuse me, family. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Okay, I'm just messing with my controls here to make sure I'm on. Hallelujah. And then he says that, so we know that he's praying, and I need to stay right here for a minute. And he's asking the Father of glory, the Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would give us the Spirit. Give us a disposition. Give us a divine nature. Give us a spirit like Christ. Let us have the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Character of Christ, the nature of Christ, the mentality. The word says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. In the name of Jesus. That's what Paul is praying for. He's specifically talking about having sight, having vision, having revelation. I'm going to get to that in 1 second. Now, he's saying, let me just break it down and give it to you like he's saying it. He's praying that God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give us a wise spirit like Christ, showing keen and sharp mental discernment and good judgment and perception. See, we get an example of that. We got an example of that in the opening scripture in Mark chapter 8, when Jesus is the Pharisees come up and they are seeking a sign. So he discerned that they were up to no good. He discerned that they wasn't looking for the real deal. They just wanted a show. They just wanted him to prove himself to them. But how many of you know you don't have to prove yourself to man when God has already approved you? You don't have to prove yourself to anyone. God has already put his seal of approval on you. So you don't have to answer to your critics. You don't have to belittle yourself. You don't have to get down on their level. And that's what Jesus did. He discerned what they were up to with his keen mind and sense of perception, and he separated himself from them and went to the other side. Come on, somebody, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. Let's stop right there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But before, let me back up just a little bit, because I need to give you what he's really saying when he's saying, hallelujah, that God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, in the knowledge of who? Brother Paul? No, in the knowledge of who God is. Hallelujah. That word revelation, it means in the Greek to take the cover off. See, God wants you to take some cover off some stuff. He wants to uncover some things to you. Hallelujah. You may be in search of a job. See, God's got, right now that job is hidden from you, but God's got to give you revelation for your next job. So, and when he does it, the cover comes off and it is exposed, and you see it for what it is. Hey, that's my job. Well, God may have to give you, maybe you're believing God for a husband or a wife. Well, see, God has to give you revelation first. Hallelujah. He's got to take the covers off of that person that you are having your mind or having your periphery or have in your eye scope. He's got to uncover that person, reveal that person to you first, to get, you know, giving you wisdom and knowledge and a revelatory power and perception as to who that person really is before you make a move in that direction. Hallelujah. Hello, somebody, in the name of Jesus. And that word revelation also means that all things are in the open, nothing hidden, nothing cloaked, nothing covered. That revelation brings a clarity. It brings It uncovers things. And revelation is so powerful. You know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, hallelujah, because they were looking at Jesus in the natural, they did not get the revelation that he was the Messiah. He is the one that they were waiting on. He is the promised seed that they have been studying about and teaching about for centuries, hallelujah, for years. But when he showed up on the scene, they did not receive the revelation of who he was. Hallelujah, because you got to have the Holy Spirit in order for things to be revealed. Glory to God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So with the power of the Holy Spirit, the revelatory power comes, revelation comes, everything becomes naked, everything becomes bare, everything is revealed to you, child of God. You are then able to see clearly all spirits and situations. You have a keen sense of place, of time, and relation. In other words, let me break it down to you. You have a keen sense of the what? You have a keen sense of the when, meaning what season am I in, God? And you have a keen sense of a why. The why. Why do I have to go through this? Or why is this happening to me? You, when you get a revelation, all these things will become clear. You will be able to know, to see, and understand. And the move of God, the hand of God that's moving in your life, that's working on your behalf. Give them glory, somebody. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. So that's what I stopped by to tell you tonight, that you've got to have revelation. You've got to have a wise spirit. You've got to have eyes that see and ears that hear. Hallelujah. Well, you can't have eyes that see if you're putting everything in your eye gate. Hallelujah. You're being easily distracted. You need to get alone. You need to shut some stuff down. You need to cut some stuff off and get alone with God in his presence, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and let him begin to reveal things to you. He can't reveal things to you when everything in the world catches your attention. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. So you need a wise spirit. That wisdom comes in, hallelujah, showing you that you need to get along with God and then when you get along with God, the revelation comes, the revelatory power of God comes. And after the revelatory power of God comes, then he begins to give you the knowledge. He revelates the knowledge to you. He gives you the knowledge. And you know what knowledge does? Hallelujah. It doesn't blow you up. It blows God up. Because in the Hebrew, that word knowledge means magnificence. That means honor and majesty. Knowledge is supposed to magnify the Lord. It's supposed to honor the Lord, not you, not me. It's supposed to give him glory. It glorifies him. For you know him intimately when he revelates things to you and give you knowledge. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. So in Ephesians 1 and 18, Paul is saying the eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding. He's saying that when your eyes are open and can see clearly, this success will come to you, that you will have the advantages, because when you can see in the spirit clearly things, people, and situations for who and what they really are, hallelujah, that's to your advantage. And that's what the word eyes mean in the Hebrew. It means advantage. When God opens your eyes so you can see, he's giving you the advantage. He's giving you success. He's making everything good for you. He's making everything right for you. Hallelujah. And he's putting everything straight. That crooked path, it now has to line up. It now becomes a straight path. Hallelujah. He's working on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word also means in the Greek, when you have eyes to see, when your eyes are open, when your eyes are clear, when you don't have impaired spiritual vision, when you don't have spiritual cataract, hallelujah, that means that things will start coming to you. It means that things will be heaped upon you. Jesus says in one of the verses of scripture, he says that too much, he said, he who understands spiritual things, more will be given to him. And he who does not understand spiritual things, the things that he has, those things will be taken from him. Hallelujah. So that means that our spiritual vision, our spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding and revelatory power from God is key to our success. It's key to us having the advantage. Hallelujah. It's key to us having things come to us, the blessings accumulated. It's key to us being things benefiting us. Hallelujah. That's what that word means in the Greek, that things will start benefiting us. Hallelujah. That we gain and we don't lose. We have the advantage and we profit. Hallelujah. And we prosper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I just have one last point to make with your family. And that comes from when Paul says, hallelujah, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Hallelujah. Enlightened. See, you won't even know why what your calling is unless you first are enlightened. You've got to be enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because then you will understand spiritual things. Then you will understand the God who created you. Then you will understand what his will, purpose, and plan for your life is. Hallelujah. Your mind of understanding being enlightened. That means that you will be able to rule over your some things that comes through your mind. Because your mind has been enlightened. Hallelujah. It means you have rulership over your mind. Hallelujah. Your mind is not wandering and loose like a goose. Hallelujah. Your mind is focused, is sharp, is keen. Hallelujah. You have discernment. You have perception. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the Greek, that word enlightened means to shed rays, meaning like rays from the sun. You become illuminated. You begin to shine. Your countenance brightens up and lightens up. Hallelujah. You become illuminated, as I said. You then be a vessel that God can use to bring light to others, hallelujah, to give light to others and to help others to see their way, hallelujah. The light of this glorious gospel, Paul says, that it may shine in our hearts, hallelujah. I praise and thank God for his word. I praise and thank God for Jesus. I praise and thank God for the precious Holy Spirit. I praise and thank God for all the saints who have gone before us in the name of Jesus and paved the way for us, like Apostle Paul and Peter and John and the disciples, hallelujah. As they are, so are we. As Christ is, so are we. Hallelujah. He left us his word. He gave us his Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that through his spirit and through his word, we can see clearly. We can see clearly. Our faces are not veiled anymore. We can see God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we don't have to wonder anymore. We don't have to guess anymore. We're not in a fog. We're not in a cloud. Everything is clear to us now. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, and give them glory. You would have need, hallelujah, to see the blind man in Mark chapter 8 in the name of Jesus. He had to get a second touch from Jesus. Some of us need a second touch. Some of us need him to touch our eyes again, hallelujah, so that our eyes can see clear. Some of us are in the midst of the enemy and don't even have the eyes to see. We don't have spiritual discernment. We don't have perception of what's around us and who's among us in the name of Jesus. But you gotta have spiritual insight, spiritual perception, spiritual discernment. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. You've got to pray and know God. Know him for yourself. Know him intimately. Know him personally. Know him, know him, know him. And when you know him, you will know what's not of him. Hallelujah. He's our shield, our buckler, our protector. He is our rear guard. Hallelujah. He is our all in all. He is the mighty one. Hallelujah. He is our champion, our king, our Lord, our God, and our Savior. There's nobody like him. So if you need spiritual discernment, if you need spiritual insight, if you need to see clearly, say, Lord, I need a touch. I need a touch. Open up my mind so that I can understand spiritual things, so that I can see you more clearly. Hallelujah. Revelate your word to me. You said that your word is a light and a lamp unto my path and unto my feet, God. Hallelujah. If I need more word, put more word in me, God. Hallelujah. Because when I have the Holy Spirit and get the word of God in me, the Holy Spirit will revelate the word. He will give me the hidden treasures. Hallelujah. They will become known unto me. The mysteries of the kingdom will be laid wide open. Hallelujah. Because the question that I asked the Lord in the name of Jesus in Mark chapter 8, hallelujah, when the man, the blind man, said, I see, when he didn't have all of his vision, he said, I see men walking as trees. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how can this man who was born blind from birth know what a tree even looks like? Hallelujah. When your disciples who are with you, were with you, hallelujah, had their physical eyes, hallelujah, and did not know that and could not see that you were the bread that came down from heaven, how could this man who was born blind have eyes to see how trees look when he was blind, And the Lord revealed to me that, sweetheart, your real vision is not what you see with these natural eyes. Your real vision is what you see in the spirit. Hallelujah. The real is in the spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we're able to tap into two dimensions with our natural eyes, the earthly realm, but with our spiritual eyes and discernment and keen and sharp mind, the mind of Christ, we can see in the spirit. Hallelujah. God gave us this gift, and I'm going to tell you why he gave us this gift. He said unto me, hallelujah, when he healed the man that was blind, he did not heal him in the midst of people. He took him outside of the town, grabbed him by the hand, and led him outside of the town, removed him from the crowd. He already knew what he was going to do. He was going to heal this man and give him his eyesight back. Now, if you have been born blind from birth, and if your eyes were opened all of a sudden, that would be too much for you to bear. Oh, Jesus. That's why God does not show us everything clearly all at one time. Hear me, somebody, in the name of Jesus. Some things he has to gradually walk us into, gradually and slowly walk us into, like some of our blessings that he has in store for us. If he were to just load us down all at one time, we wouldn't even be able to handle it. Hallelujah. So we have got to let God lead and guide us, take us. Sometimes we have to take baby steps because he knows what's in a man and what can come upon a man, pride and arrogance. Hallelujah. So he has to slowly and gradually give us our blessings, lead us into that promised land. He didn't give the children of Israel the promised land all at once. They had to take it a little bit at a time. Good God from Zion, in the name of Jesus. So I don't know who this message is for, but somebody needs to know you're on the right path. You're on the right track. It may seem like God is just taking too long, but God is an on-time God. Your blessing is right there. Your breakthrough is right there. You continue to walk in his faith. You continue to hold him by his hand. Don't turn his hand loose. Don't let go of the Lord. He's going to lead you and walk you right on into your blessings. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. He can't give them all to you at one time because he knows what we'll do with him. We'll splurge him just like the prodigal son. He took all of his father's inheritance at one time and went and lived a riotous life, lost everything, ended up in a slough and a hole. Flop. Hallelujah. But the Father was still gracious. The Father was still merciful unto him. He still put a robe on him. He still put a ring on his finger. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, when he turned and came back home. But we don't have time to squander anything. We don't have time to waste our inheritance because it's too precious. The calling of God is too precious. It's too precious. And we've got to take our time and let the Lord do it. Allow him to lead and guide us into that promised land, into that place of blessing. He knows what we need, when we need it, what time we need it, what season we need it. We just have to have eyes to see and be discerned and use discernment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's taking you somewhere. He wants to open your eyes. He wants to peel back your eyes so you can see the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise God for you for joining us on the broadcast tonight. And the word, if I had to leave one with you, is that your vision is not impaired. You have spiritual sight and vision by the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop looking at things on the surface only. You've got to go deeper. You've got to see things for what they really are. And only God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, can give us 2020 spiritual vision. Hallelujah. So give them glory on tonight. Father, we praise. We bless you. We thank you. We just praise your holy name, Father. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that anybody who has a need, who's listening to this broadcast, Father, you already know what we have need of, your word declares. And before we can ask, you've already answered. Father, we just want to say we thank you. We love you, we honor you, we adore you, we magnify you. We give you glory. It all belongs to you, Father. We are so gracious and so thankful that we didn't choose you, but you chose us. Father, not only did you call us, but you also qualified us, God. Thank you. It doesn't matter who doesn't select us, because we know that you have elected us. And that's all that matters, Father. So let our lights continue to shine, Father, in the midst of darkness. Father, show us who we need to help. Show us who we need to bless. Open up our spiritual eyes, God. Open up our minds of understanding, Father, so that we can understand the hope of our calling. Hallelujah. And discernment is not a weapon, God. It's a tool, a gift that you have given to us so that we can discern what's around us, what's amongst us, and so that we'll know what to pray for, so we won't be deceived, is number one. Hallelujah. Because everything saying, Lord, Lord, is not of God. Hallelujah. So, Father, as sheep of your pasture, people called by your name, your babes, your sons and your daughters, having the heart of children, childlike faith, let us not get too big for our britches. And I see so many today, Father, shooting down the next one and criticizing the other one and judging the other one. God, let us get rid of that spirit. I rebuke that spirit. I cast it down in the name of Jesus by the authority he has given me through his Holy Spirit. That's not of God. We've got to love one another. You're so spiritual, but yet you're so hateful. God is not pleased with that. And you can pick the speck out of your brother's eye and forget the 2x4 that's in yours. But God's grace and mercy, his grace is sufficient. I thank God that he has not uncovered and exposed all of our wickedness, all of our wrongdoings, his favor, his grace. I'm forever grateful in the name of Jesus. So let us guard our spirits. Let us watch what comes out of our mouths. Let us not try to win over the crowd, but win the crown of life, the crown that God has promised us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you for giving us wisdom, Lord, for giving us understanding. And in all of our getting, let us get an understanding. And most importantly, Father, thank you for the access. The access beyond the veil into your holy presence. Father, we love you. We honor you and we adore you. We thank you, Father. We give you glory and we give you praise. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, your son, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So family, on tonight, we bless you. We thank God for you. Join us again next Thursday, God willing, for another podcast destined to win. You're destined to win. Until then, this is Evangelist Shirley. I love you. God bless you. Good night, family.